Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast on Radio MD, iHeart, of course, and many other channels. You can find and follow me at Dr. Mike Roizen. You, the Owner's Manual Podcast, is a incredibly passionate, you can hear it, I hope, show that helps you take control of your health so you can help you and your family live at the top of your curve. We have a great guest coming up, and assuming that the guest shows, Dr. Belisa Vranik, she talks about breathing. You know, we do it all the time and we don't think about it. I've often talked about how we do it really well when we're newborns, and by the time we're six or seven, we do it wrong. She's going to talk to us about that and how you can do some exercises. If you look at the reviews on Amazon for Breathe, the book with Dr. Vranich, V-R-A-N-I-C-H, you'll see that a lot of people like the rock and roll breathing exercise, which is a technique to strengthen your diaphragm, she says. If you want to listen to, and we have great stories today, by the way. My favorite, of course, is one on omega-3, the odd omegas. Great article, wonderful article from the Mayo Clinic Journal, that is Mayo Clinic Proceedings, which analyzed all the data on omega-3s and heart health. We'll tell you what it showed in a few minutes, and why, if you look in a mirror, why I believe you should get your omega-3 index measured. By the way, we do have a new book coming out in a couple weeks, Gene Chatsky and myself. Gene was my guest on 825 and 824 podcasts. You can get, she's got great tips on how to be age-proof. That is living longer without running out of money or breaking a hip. And I'm always fascinated. She's so good. You'll see it if you listen or hear it if you listen to those podcasts. We also have a story on cardiorespiratory fitness and U.S. veterans. What happens when the veterans get fit? And we'll talk about also why rural Americans are in trouble and what they're likely to die from. A new story this week also about how physician aid in dying is gaining acceptance across the United States. It's now legal in seven states, I believe, about 20% of the country. And health claims are on the rise for kids with type 2 diabetes, why that is, and what's happening, and where it's happening. That's a real surprise to me. And depression may be as bad for your heart as obesity. We'll cover that and why abortion is falling to its lowest rates since Roe versus Wade. And my favorite story, if you will, is Make America Mate Again. Not great again, mate again. Yeah, the birth rate in the United States has fallen to its lowest level since World War II, when, of course, people were single, forced single, as so many men were in the armed forces and away from their spouses. The baby boomer came when they came back home, but we're at a level that is as low as during the heyday of World War II. So we've got to make America mate again. Benefits of daily aspirin outweigh the risks to the stomach after stomach cancer surgery. This is a really interesting story. And our Well Beyond Wellness segment, the curious connection between autism and cancer and genes. And we hope to get to all of those before our guest. And Sonar, interrupt me if our guest calls in. And then I'm going to talk about we've obviously got enough news that we can take more time than our guest would allow. But the states most affected by the Affordable Care repeal, assuming it does get repealed under the Trump administration and the Republican Congress and Senate, or the Republican House of Representatives and Senate, and the states least affected. What's the state least affected? You probably got it. It's Texas, which hasn't done anything for Medicare reform. reform or replacement, if you will, Medicaid, I'm sorry, hasn't expanded its Medicaid. Oklahoma, Mississippi, Alabama, Arizona, South Carolina, Utah, Kansas, Georgia, and Alaska, all red states which haven't expanded Medicaid and thus are least affected, whereas the states most affected, some of them are red states as well, or went red for Trump, such as Michigan, Ohio, and West Virginia. And some are deeply blue states that did expand their Medicaid: Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Oregon, New Hampshire, and Connecticut. But the Massachusetts will have the highest growth in uninsured population with repeal, 273%, five times higher than Alaska, the state that will have the growth. This is growth. This isn't absolute uninsured population. This is growth. You want to find the full story, you can go to wallethub.com for the rest of the story. People always ask me to review some of our guests from prior podcasts. 8, if you will, 824 and 5, as I said, was the great, the wonderful. Of course, I got to read a book with her, so she is, and I found out how really wonderful she is Jean Chatsky, 823, fascinating story, author of If Our Bodies Could Talk, A Guide to Operating and Maintaining the Human Body by James Hamlin, who's a physician, but went right from his residency to being a senior editor at The Atlantic. Wonderful book. 822, one of my favorites, Skinny Liver with Kristen Kirkpatrick. 819 and 21, that was with Michael Bruce, The Power of When. Discover your chronotrope, the best time to eat lunch, ask for a raise, have sex, write a novel, take your meds, and more. And another, probably one of my favorites, I'm going to go way back to 814 and 816. We only have people twice when they're really good. And Charlie Hennekins, 814 and 816, if you haven't heard him, he did talk about toothpaste may save your life and why inflammation is so important and why this specific toothpaste will save it. Now, let's go back to the start of the stories. Do check yourself in the mirror before you leave the house. Well, you almost certainly do. You want to look for smudges and that green stuff in your teeth. But in fact, it relates to your omega-3 index. What's your omega-3 index? It's the amount of omega-3 in your red blood cell membrane. Why is that so important? Because it allows you to take control of your health, just like getting your blood glucose, your blood pressure does. This is the amount of omega-3. Mine was low. I was really surprised. I eat salmon a couple times a week, almost invariably a couple times a week, and I take some DHA supplements. Mine was just below. It was 7.98%. That's not really low. 8% and above, a 75% reduction in cardiovascular events in this Mayo Clinic review, as opposed to under 4%. But the data were pretty darn good that just taking any supplements, not even measuring your level, but just taking that DHA supplement, in fact, was associated, or getting salmon, just thinking about getting it and having a level where you took supplements, reduced cardiovascular events, all cause in all the studies analyzed on an average by about 25%. So talk to your doctor about getting your omega-3 index measured, or you can easily go to the sites, just put in omega-3 index and find out how to get it. You can take the test on yourself. It's just a stick in your finger, just like you would your blood glucose. Very easily, you send it in, and they'll give you your omega-3 index and what it means. What about cardiorespiratory fitness? Does it have anything to do? In other words, if you exercise more, do you get healthier? And the answer? You got the answer. You know that that's right. But this was a look at veterans and whether they had a history of the cardiorespiratory fitness metabolic equivalence. You can find it on your treadmill often, or on your elliptical, how much you do. And what they found was that major adverse cardiovascular events went down substantially if you got more fit. So the higher your MET level, and getting a MET level above 10 for women and above 11 for men at any age, but it went down, you didn't need to do as much as you got older, but don't let that help you, because just reducing it compared to other guys your or women your age doesn't mean much. You want an absolute level. If you got above 10 for women, above 11 for men for 2 minutes a week, reduced your risk of dying as if you were 10 years younger. Amazing, and that's the maximum benefit you can get from cardiorespiratory fitness. So you're 60 and you're equivalent to 50 just by getting that MET level. Another test you can do. Rural Americans, what's the story? Why do they die? They die from the top five causes of death, and they're dying especially, and we'll have that story next week on 8/27. We're going to have the story of how they're dying much more commonly from cancer, whereas everyone else is in the United States dying much less commonly. But they die from heart disease, cancer, unintentional injury, respiratory disease, and stroke. Why? They're getting fat, they're not exercising, and they're smoking much more. This is a question. What percent of people do you think are categorized as living in rural areas? I gave you a little pause of a time to think about it. It is 1/7 of the population. I thought it would be much greater than that. But 1/7 of the population lives in what are called rural areas, and they're, in fact, they have much higher rates of cigarette smoking, high blood pressure, and obesity, and have lower rates of physical activity. I thought if they live in a rural area, they'd have higher physical activity. Those 1/7 of Americans who live in those areas not only smoke and gain weight and don't eat healthy, but they also have high blood pressure and don't do as much physical activity. And they don't live in states where the physician aid in dying is gaining acceptance. Is that right? Well, in fact, in November, Colorado and California both agreed to do an aid in dying legislation. What's an aid in dying legislation? If you think you're at the end of your life or having pain or having another problem and want to end it, if you can justify that request and figure you are at the end of your life or have too much problem, then this is kind of a death with dignity. It's based after the Death with Dignity Act that was passed in Oregon in 1997. And there are now states, Colorado, California, Washington, Vermont, Montana, and Oregon, and maybe the District of Columbia. We don't know whether that law is going to be blocked or not. But in any case, in those states, such as California, the state of Washington, Vermont, Montana, Oregon, and Colorado, if you have two other physicians who agree with your decision and a written request of your own, then you have the potential of dying with dignity based on this law. Health claims on the rise for kids with type 2 diabetes, totally different thing. Obesity-related conditions have increased, this is amazing, increased over 150% in how long? Well, you can guess. Kids are getting fat, and this is just in the last 15 years, these complications, or these need for medical care, have more than doubled. What states have the highest? I didn't realize Ohio, Pennsylvania, and I don't know what they have to do with North Dakota, Utah, and South Dakota, but these five states have the highest claims for type 2 diabetes in kids. It's not just because we have physicians who take care of diabetes. One of the other stories that hit the news this week is depression may be as bad for the heart as obesity. This is a study of 3,500 people in Germany who are between the ages of 45 and 74. Those who sought help for depression and didn't get rid of it had as early a death rate as those people who had type 2 diabetes or were obese. And so depression was tied to, total death rates and cardiovascular death rates, and was a strong correlate of death in this study. So depression, as bad as getting type 2 diabetes or as bad as having a body mass index over 30, truly obese. Why? Well, we'll go into that in a future level. I told you also that my favorite slogan this week was Make America Mate Again, M-A-T-E, and that's because the childhood birth rate, or the pregnancy rate, is now as low as it's been since 1900, and in fact since before we've been keeping records, and is now as low as it was in World War II. This is the lowest rate. You need about 2.1 births per female to maintain a even level of births and deaths, that is population. We were as low as 1.0, now it's 1.4. Ridiculous. That means for women in the potentially pregnant age, they're having an average 1.4 children, which if you consider a husband and wife is way below that 2 replacement. You need someplace between 2.1 and 2.2. Because of deaths and other things and people who choose not to get married, and we're way below that. We're not at replacement value, and not only that, if we don't have immigration and this, we have fewer people in America. Fewer people means a problem in supporting our elderly when they get old. So, and since old age is going to be able to be achieved more commonly, maybe we'll just all have to work longer. I guess that was one of the proposals I heard in talking about revising Social Security, was a gradual increase in the retirement age to past 75, actually 77 was mentioned in the United States. And it's a formal proposal in Japan by their finance ministry to move the retirement age in Japan to 75, almost immediately, not waiting. What's the other story that relates to this? Well, abortion falls to the lowest level since Roe versus Wade. One of the reasons is the Obamacare Act was allowed to provide contraception free, and they're much better contraceptives, and they are free, actually, under Obamacare, and that has cut down on pregnancies and unwanted pregnancies, so it's cut down on abortions, and we're now at the lowest level, down considerably from 29.3 per thousand in 1980s to now 14.6, about cut in half. In fact, it's cut more than 50%, and there are also fewer providers because of state rules, etc. So those two things, less fertility, better contraception that's provided free, and the more restrictive state laws have decreased the abortion rate. Benefits of daily aspirin outweigh the risks to stomach. I take it, Sonar, we're still not having our guests, so I'm going to keep going because I've got a few more. Is that right?
No, sir. She's not here.
Okay, so benefits of daily aspirin outweigh the risk to the stomach. And this is a interesting story, interesting study that was done out of Cardiff in the United Kingdom, where they looked at people with colon and stomach cancer, so most vulnerable to bleeding from it. After they had those resections, they then gave them in a randomized fashion either aspirin or not. And what happened? The people with the aspirin didn't bleed anymore, didn't have any more hemorrhages or risk of dying than those who didn't get the aspirin. But they did have a reduction in their cancer recurrence rates by 15% greater reduction than in the group that got the placebo. Bottom line, aspirin decreases colon, rectal, and esophageal cancer and is, take it with a glass of warm water before and afterwards, but in this study was not associated with greater risk of bleeding. My key point segment, the curious connection between autism and cancer. And this again, aspirin seems to decrease this. Autism seems to be related to a genetic abnormality in the PTEN gene, PTEN, and breast cancer and BRCA cancer is related to that abnormality in that gene. So breast cancer and apparently cancer of several other organs, including colon and maybe pancreas, relating to PTEN and CHD8 abnormalities. And those two also, those gene abnormalities, also have a strong correlation with autism. Why? Well, it appears that the genes are involved in producing more chromatin. Chromatin forms the helps form the DNA protein complex that makes up chromosomes, your essential building block, but involved in DNA repair and transmission. And maybe is that autism and the PTEN gene, what maybe why cancer and autism both arise, is a lack of the ability to repair. We don't know it, but it is a curious connection. Now, one story that is sad in the news this week, the babies born addicted to opiates, if you look at them, and this was looking at 2,200 children who were born with neonatal abstinence syndrome, that is, that they were addicted to opiates and had to be withdrawn by third, fifth, and seventh grade, these kids were reading much poorly and doing much less well on mathematics tests. In fact, the data are that by the, I think it is by the seventh grade, the children with neonatal abstinence syndrome, meaning they were withdrawing from narcotics, were reading at a grade five level. You're listening to, you've been listening to, and that's my last story of the week, you've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual radio show. We got to do the full show this week with news, so we covered it all. We often don't cover it. My major take-homes for you to be able to take control of your health: get the omega-3 index. It's important. I'm a medical nerd, and this medical article shows that getting a level above 8% associated with a 75% reduction in stroke and heart attacks, that's getting omega-3s, DHA mainly, in your red blood cell. So whether you're taking supplements or getting it from salmon and ocean trout, get your omega-3 DHA. It decreases not only brain aging and the risk of macular degeneration, but get that level above 8% and you'll decrease your risk of stroke and heart attack. The second major level, get METS. Look at your METS on your exercise machine and get up not only do the 10,000 steps a day, but if you're going to, after you've done weightlifting, get on a machine and get to see if you can do 10 or 11 METs, work up to that, because that also will decrease your risk of death from cardiovascular causes. Thanks very much, Sonar. Again, thanks for great engineering. You've been listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. This is podcast 826. Remember, Gene Chatsky's on 824 and 825. On 823, my favorite, Kristen Kirkpatrick's Skinny Liver. We'll be back next week with another way you can take control of your health. And with a special guest next week, we have Dr. Natasha Turner talking about how to get the six hormones most responsible for your weight in the optimal level and the optimal range. I'll give you a hint. She'll talk to us about when you should eat protein. We'll be right back next week. Thanks again for listening.